Have we arrived? How many of you have been on a trip with a five-year-old? And the dreaded question comes, how much farther? Max Licato says it's the most dreaded question of parenthood. How much farther? Because when you have a five-year-old in the back seat asking the question, there is hardly an answer that you can give that will suffice. I suppose inexperienced parents, and probably the thing I would first try would be the simple thing. Well, it's so many miles, and we're going so many miles an hour, so we'll be there in such and such a time. The time and distance have no meaning to a five-year-old. Some parents get really creative, and Max Licato says as he was raising his girls that they came up with an answer that they thought was perfect. When the girls in the back would start saying, how much farther? How much farther? Are we there yet? How long before we get there? They would say, well, your favorite movie is The Little Mermaid, right? Well, we'll be there in about the same amount of time it takes to watch The Little Mermaid three times. And they'd be like, oh, okay. And 5 seconds later, how much farther? Are we there yet? It seems that no answer quite suffices. And finally, you just have to kind of give up and say, don't worry about it, we'll get there. And you start talking instead about what it's going to be like when you get there, or playing games with them to entertain them along the way. But you know, there's really no satisfactory answer to how much farther. When we look at books like Revelation and the end of the book of Daniel, and we hear about the beautiful promises that one day everything is going to be put right. One day there will be no fighting in the Middle East. One day there will be no disease. One day there'll be no tears and no dying. One day God will reign completely. And we're promised it will be a beautiful day indeed. And we say, but when? How much farther? When will this happen? And over we've asked that question. And some people have tried to help us come up with an answer. But none of those answers have seemed to be quite sufficient. Most of the times that are talked about in the scripture are very symbolic. A time, and a half a time. A season and a time. And evenings and mornings are talked about. But no matter how you look at them, no one seems to come up with exactly the same answer of how much farther, how much longer before we get there. John Maxwell, who's a well-known lecturer in pastor circles, likes to talk about what's really going on in heaven now as God is trying to figure out when to send Jesus back. He's got all of those charts that everybody has made up about how exactly the apocalypse is going to unfold and what time things are going to happen. He's got them all laid out in heaven, and he's looking at them. And then he calls Jesus over. He says, come here. He says, as soon as I get all these charts figured out, I'll send you back. There's a sense where no matter what scenario people have come up with, it doesn't seem to match somebody else's, and it doesn't quite complete our question. How much farther? How long before you return? Well, I think there's a really simple answer as to why we have never had an adequate answer for how long. Because if you look in the Gospels, when Jesus was asked, so how long? When does all of this stuff happen? Jesus' answer was, I don't know. Only my Father in heaven knows. So I'm not real surprised when no one else seems to be able to figure it out. If Jesus doesn't know, and certainly Jesus had Daniel to look at, and if we could figure out the exact setting of how things were going to unfold from Daniel, Jesus would have been able to tell us. In fact, at Jesus' ascension, that is talked about in the book of Acts, the disciples ask him, okay, is this it? Is this the time that you're going to set up your kingdom? And Jesus gives an answer that I think is very loving and very compassionate, but doesn't answer the question. He says, that's not for you to know. So if the time of all of this happening is not for us to know, is beyond our understanding, and we don't get the answer to how long? How long before God puts everything right? How long before Christ comes? Then what do we get from reading books like Revelation and the end of Daniel? We may not find out when, but I think we find out a lot about how to wait in the meantime, how to appreciate and enjoy the trip. And perhaps we find a great deal about how to endure the trip. In the scripture today, we hear the promise about what things are going to be like. We hear that the vision that the one comes down like a son of man on the cloud from heaven, and that his kingdom is set up, and it is a kingdom that lasts forever. We also hear that in the meantime, there are some pretty ugly things going on. Earlier, Daniel talks about beasts and their rule on this earth, but says, you know, they're going to pass away. Nothing on this earth, no kingdom, no power, no authority, no tribulation, no war, no famine, no disease is eternal. Only God and God's kingdom. Now this was very, very important information at the time in which Daniel was being read and embraced, and I think in the time period in which it really became scripture, because it was so important to hear, was a time period in which things were really, really bad. Now, if you've been at Bible study, you've heard a lot about the Maccabean period and how during this time, right before that, Antiochus Epiphanes was the conqueror of Israel, and that he set up a lot of things that were just really detrimental to the people. There is no way to describe the atrocities, the abomination, the cruelty of this man. He didn't want the Jews to worship their God, and he set things in motion to assure that they didn't. He said, you can't worship on the Sabbath. He said, you can't keep kosher. He even went as far as to desecrate the temple, slaughtering a hog, a pig on the altar, and dedicating the temple to the god of Zeus, and trying to force the people to worship Zeus instead of their god. Now, if you didn't, the punishment was harsh, incredibly harsh. You weren't just killed, you were tortured. You weren't just tortured, you were tortured in front of your family and loved ones as a sign that they should not stand against Antiochus Epiphanes and his orders. With so much going on, and so many people dying, and so much hate and ugliness and despair and devastation, you can understand that the people would have begun to ask, where is God in the midst of this? How long before God puts this right? How long? People don't get an answer even then about how long. What they do get an answer is, that God is there in the midst, that God is still in charge, and no matter what they see going on around them, and even if it lasts all of your lifetime, which can seem like forever, God is still in charge. And God's will not ultimately be undone. It says he watched until the beast was slain and that the other beast's authority was taken from them. But they were allowed to still live for a season and a time. Sometimes we live in those seasons, in those times, when things seem to not be going right. But these books remind us that the season and the time will pass, that nothing is ultimate except God, and that eventually their reign of dread and despair will end. Everything that goes against God will eventually end. Now you may ask, what good does that do us, especially if we're having to live in the middle of it and we don't get an answer that it's going to end in our lifetime? I think one person who's been really helpful for me in that has been Bishop Desmond Tutu. If you remember, he was the bishop in South Africa and really was an incredible force in the face of apartheid. As a black man, apartheid was a serious, serious impact on his life. And yet, no matter what would happen, Bishop Desmond Tutu would still stand against apartheid. And they would say to him, you know, when are you going to give up and realize that we're stronger than you are and we're not going to give in, and you are just one person and you can't do anything about this? And he would say back to them, you see, I've read the end of the book. I know how things end. He knew about Daniel. He knew about Revelation. And he could say with confidence, you know, it's not about an 80% chance here. Like there's an 80% chance that eventually apartheid will end. He said, you guys, I've read the end of the book. You can't win because God wins. And apartheid is not on God's side. And we saw he was right. And the neat thing is he got to see it in his lifetime. Sometimes the journey can seem long. Sometimes the road markers can make it seem even longer. I know that I just really don't like to travel. I don't like to ride in the car. I don't like to go long distances. And so often when Joe drives, I sleep to try to just make it go faster. We leave Tallahassee, and I pretty soon after that fall asleep. You know, like maybe an hour into the drive, I fall asleep. And I feel like I have been sleeping forever. And I wake up, and I see a road marker. And I'm looking for that road marker because I'm wanting some sign that the journey is getting shorter. And normally the road marker I see says Live Oak. And I'm like, you mean we're still on I-10 after all this time? It just seems like you never get off I-10. And I think sometimes, even though I know how long that journey is going to be, and I know what's at the other side, and I know that I'm going to get there, sometimes it's awfully hard to make the journey itself. I think in life sometimes it can be very hard to make the journey. And that assurance of the end being glorious sometimes just makes us all the more anxious to get there. And sometimes the mile markers that we look at make us realize just how much farther we have to go. But if we live in that assurance that it's not about an 80% chance we'll get there, or a 20% chance this procedure will work, or a 50-50 chance God will win if just enough people get on God's side, if we can truly live in the assurance that God wins. And there's not anything anybody can do to change that. We can cooperate with it, or we cannot cooperate with it. But eventually, no matter what we see going on around us, no matter what lies people tell themselves, the end will come. And God will win. And everything will be put right. And in knowing that, we can have the assurance to stand strong and bold in our faith. To not duck down and think, man, is this fight worth it? Man, it should just be easier to just give up and let evil have its day. No, that's not what these books are about. What they're about is telling us to stand firm and stand strong, because while evil may have its day, we serve the Ancient of Days. And in knowing that, we can move out in assurance that nothing we do will be in vain. And that one day, the truth will be made known to all. And we can stand in the assurance that we were part of that. Just like Bishop Desmond Tutu got to do.